on a vacation for a few more days, and so you're stuck with just the vicar and I, but we'll get by either way. Our service this morning is for the 16th Sunday after Trinity, and so before we begin our service, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, there are so many things in this world that are difficult and challenges and hard for us to deal with. Perhaps one of the greatest things that we are forced to deal with in the sinful world is the loss of life and death. Lord, we know that on our own we cannot do anything about these terrible circumstances. Grant us faith that looks to you and trusts in your promise to overcome sin, death, and the power of the devil, and to grant us eternal life through Jesus' name. In your holy, precious name, then, we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn, then, is hymn number 818, In Thee Is Gladness, hymn 818. Service setting 3, page 184, page 184. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time I invite you to turn in your bulletin to the insert. We'll sing together the introit as printed.
Thank you. That your grace may always go before and follow after us, that we may continually be given to all good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings, chapter 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual on your insert.
Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion. He appears in his glory.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel and Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 192.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 758. The will of God is always best, number 758.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Christians, our gospel lesson this morning causes us to consider an important question. How is it that we deal with death? How do you deal with death? It's an important question, isn't it? Because all of us, at some point in our life, probably more than one point in our life, we'll have to deal with it. Loved ones, friends, co-workers, spouse. Unless we pass away before them, we will have to mourn them. Death seems like an end. We talk about it as a culmination of life, a time when people examine all the actions of an individual's life and try to justify them to the world. How do you deal with death? As a pastor, I've been with many, many people as they've tried to deal with death. I've seen many ways that they've tried to rationalize it, many ways they've tried to wrap their mind around it. And the truth is, when death strikes, there is so much false comfort that is given. What I mean is this. I've heard well-meaning people say to mourners that their loved one has now become an angel who is looking down on them from above. They've now gotten their wings. It sounds nice, but it's not true. It's true, the people that we are mourning are in heaven. But why would somebody who's there want to look down on us as we toil and struggle? And even though they're in heaven, they're not angels. All the angels were created in the beginning. There have been no more and no less since creation began. It's false hope. I've heard people say, in a very well-meaning way, that now your loved one lives on in your heart. Again, untrue. I heard that one when my grandma passed away in Omaha from their pastor. It didn't bring comfort because all I could think about was, if that's true, that my grandma's alive in my heart, what happens when my heart dies? Where is she then? Well-meaning words that actually don't bring comfort. Even saying your loved one is always with you is quickly proved untrue by the harsh reality of widows and widowers living in silent houses, thinking about their loved ones that are gone. How do you deal with death? Oftentimes in the world, we say these well-meaning things, but they don't actually take away the hurt. They don't actually stop the pain. They're not always true. sting of death is sharp. It cuts deep. Still, years and decades later, we can become misty-eyed, thinking of loved ones who are gone. So how do you deal with death? Do we try to tell everybody how good the person who's gone is? With long eulogies, sometimes with funny jokes and laughter and clapping and applause. Can that undo death? No. Maybe we'll make a donation in their name, have a plaque attached to the wall somewhere so that their name is forever remembered. In the churches in Germany, the floors are filled with such inscriptions, names of people that no one remembers, that no one knows anything about. Making a donation in someone's name isn't necessarily bad in itself, so long as we understand that does not give them immortality. That is not their hope. How do you deal with death? Sometimes I see people who try to occupy themselves with other things then. Maybe work, maybe a new hobby. I've seen people who try to move to a new place to escape the loss and the hurt and the loneliness. None of those things seems to really help in the end. You can't run away from it. And while we try to do other things, we still think about it. I've seen some people who, in the end, just despair. They shut down, separate themselves from the world. I've even seen people who begin to self-medicate to try and numb the sharpness of death's sting. How do we, Christians, deal with death? We don't do it the way the others in the world do. We Christians see death differently. And to understand how we see death differently, we need to understand what happens in today's gospel lesson. You've heard the account before. A widowed Jewish woman has now lost her only son as well. We don't know how or why he died, but we do know that he's gone. And we do know what this means for this widowed woman. It means that her source of financial stability is now gone. Women of the ancient world couldn't own land. They couldn't provide an income. This woman is now essentially a beggar. But those of you who have dealt with death know the truth. Financial situation is minor compared to what's really crushing her. Her son is gone. Just like her husband, at some point in the past, was taken. Imagine the scene that we heard in our gospel lesson. This woman must be weeping, crying, mourning like crazy, perhaps to the point of hysteria. It's a bitter pill that she has been made to swallow. She refuses to be comforted, not by her friends, not by her neighbors, not by her extended family, not by anyone in town, even as they walk with her to the graveside. The baby she held in her hands as an infant, that she lived all those years with, that she raised, that she fed, that she loved, is lying there dead. And now she must bury him. Telling her that her son is an angel won't help. Hanging his name on the wall of the local synagogue won't help. Moving to another town won't numb the pain. Death hurts. And she knows it well. How can she deal with death? She cannot. We see it clearly in the gospel lesson. She doesn't even know what to do. She can't make the pain stop. She can't make things better. She can't bring her son or her husband back. But as she walks step by step to the cemetery, walking the other way is someone who can. Jesus. Jesus sees this funeral procession. He sees this woman weeping and crying and hurting. And he steps in to deal with what she cannot deal with. He stops the procession, he goes to the woman and he says, "Don't weep." These aren't well-meaning words because they're the words of God. "Don't weep because I will handle death for you," Jesus says. "Don't weep, I will defeat it for you," Jesus says. "I will pull its teeth out so that its bite doesn't hurt you. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?" Jesus promises to defeat it. And after consoling the woman with God's own word spoken through his mouth, Jesus walks over to the dead man. He puts his hand on the casket. And he speaks, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And at the word of God, the young man does just that. He gets up. He breathes the breath of life, first breathed into Adam at the Garden of Eden. He becomes a living being again. Jesus gives him back to his mother, returns him from the place where there should be no return from. Death has been handled for this mother, for this son. And God did the work. How do you, dear Christian, deal with death? The same way that mother did. Just like the mother from our gospel lesson, you can't handle it. But Jesus, he handles it for you. He handles death by defeating it on Good Friday outside Jerusalem. It was there as Jesus hung from the cross that death tried to swallow him whole. He was nailed down. He was suffered. He bled. He hurt. He was mocked. He died. And he did all of it to handle death for you. He was even buried. And for 3 days, it looked like death had won. But it hadn't. Jesus rose. To live forever, for always. He's alive, even now. He ascended into heaven to prepare a place for every single Christian, promising that he will raise them as well, as he himself rose, as the son of the widow rose, as Lazarus rose, as the son of the other widow from our Old Testament rose. All will live with Jesus in the end, on the last day. Jesus ascended into heaven and promises that he will come back. That he will come and stand at the foot of every single grave to call forth whoever rests therein. To say to you, when you are in the sleep of death, arise. And when Jesus' word of resurrection comes into your dead ears, you will wake up. You will walk away. You will pass through and out of the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus promises. And the same is true for your loved ones who have died in the faith. They will all with you be given eternal life. God handles death for you in and through Jesus. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? It's nowhere to be found. God has given eternal life to his blessed saints, even to you, through the waters of holy baptism. Or did you not know that when you are baptized into Christ Jesus, you were baptized into his death? You are buried, therefore, with Jesus by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We shall have life and life to the full. We shall live even though we die, and whoever believes in Jesus will never really die. God handles death for you. And so now you're free. Now you're free to use God's truth about death. When your fellow Christian is mourning, you're free to speak the word of Jesus to them. Jesus will raise your loved one. Death is not forever. All who believe and are baptized will live. And when you use God's truth, there's comfort in the words. You're free to comfort them as Jesus comforted this mother, not telling them, stop crying and act like a man, but instead, hope in the resurrection. You're free free to mourn, not as the world mourns without any hope, but as a Christian mourns, knowing that it may be many years and it may hurt for a while, but that your loved one will live again and that you will see them on the last day and all the days that follow thereafter into eternity. You will see your loved one through the work of Jesus Christ. You're free. Free to face your own death in faith. You're free. Dear Christian, how do you deal with death? You don't. But Jesus does. He kills death, destroys its power. He grants life to the full. He raises from the dead. He calls forth the dead. He gives life everlasting. Jesus deals with death, and he does so for good. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. This time we continue our service by singing together the offertory, Create Me a Clean Heart, on page 192. Please stand. Be seated. This time we practice what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each row. Visitors and members, if you'll put your information on there so we can acknowledge your presence and worship with us today. We also want to welcome all of those worshiping with us on the radio. We pray our service has been a blessing to you, and at this time we also collect our gifts and offerings.
prayer of the church. Today in our prayers, we remember St. Paul Lutheran in Fort Dodge, Iowa, at the time of the murder of their pastor, Reverend Al Henderson. Let us pray for the Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For all those who have been raised to new life through baptism into Christ, that they would be strengthened by the Spirit, rooted and grounded in love, know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and be filled with all the fullness of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church throughout the world, and especially the saints at St. Paul Lutheran in Fort Dodge, and for an increase in faithful servants sent out into the harvest, that the proclamation of the gospel would resound in all places, sinners of all nations would hear and believe, and Christ's kingdom would be expanded. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors, that they would be diligent in their studies, compassionate and loving in their duties, and humble in their care, always recognizing that they are in need of the gospel every bit as much as those to whom they are called to serve. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have been placed in authority over us, that they would serve with integrity and honor, seeking after peace and the common good of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who live in lands where persecution and poverty are severe, that they would put their trust in Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, and according to His will, find refuge in other more hospitable places. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and suffering, especially Barb, Stacy, Tom, Michael, Rita, Ron, Harlan, Dennis, Norma, Julie, Myron, Gloria, Lisa, Phyllis, Juliana, Judy, Jerry and Karen, and grandson Austin, Gerald, and the family of Hilda Kamen, and also for our shut-in members, that God would incline His ear to hear our prayers, heal and restore them according to His will, and keep them in the faith that leads to eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who receive the Holy Eucharist this day, that they would recognize that God visits His people at the holy altar in the very body and blood of Christ, receive forgiveness for their sins, have their faith strengthened, and depart in peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the saints who have gone before us and now rest with their labors, let us give thanks to the Lord that we would be kept in the faith until we are raised with them on the last day to dwell in Christ's kingdom, which has no end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend for all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right, so to you.
It is good, truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. This time we stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, hymn 805, the Common Doxology. Seated. Welcome once again. We're so glad to have you all here with us this morning. A few announcements to draw to your attention. If you grab a Good Shepherd News and Notes while you're getting that. Kids, if you want to go get goodies, we'll have Sunday school opening here in about 5 minutes or so. A couple things going on this Wednesday during our midweek service. We do have our first confirmation questioning, and so that'll be a part of our midweek with confirmation and then the service, and during the service we'll have the questioning. It's good for all the members of the congregation to come and support the kids as they go through that, and also then to make sure they're learning what they're supposed to learn in confirmation. So Wednesday, 6:30, be here for that. Next weekend, there's a Main Street Living taping in the morning, and also then on Sunday, we begin a summary of Christian doctrine class, and that'll be back in the room 109. It's just kind of a covering of all the basics of our Christian belief, and so you're more than welcome to come to that. If you know anybody else who's interested, invite them as well. October 19th, we have a Red Cross blood drive coming up, and also an African Violet and Craft Sale going on, both of those at the same time, so put that on your calendar. A couple other events coming up a little bit further off. We are looking for a volunteer or volunteers to help us continue the SCRIP program that supports some of our youth activities and also the kids at our school. We're needing a few people to help sell the SCRIP. The people who have been doing it, Beth and Jan, for many years are stepping aside here in not too distant future. And so if you're interested in helping with that, please let us know. We also have a budgeting class that's coming up here in just a couple months. More information will be in future bulletins, but the basics now, after the 10:30 service, November 10th, that class will meet. It's a part of our stewardship committee, and I think it's a good thing for all of us to consider going to as well. A couple other things that are in your news and notes. Any others that I have forgotten?
Pastor Molina and I, this Monday and Tuesday, will be at a conference in Grand Island with the rest of the Nebraska district. On Tuesday morning, we will not have a Bible study, a men's Bible study, and also no morning matins chapel at 8:15. It's normally every Tuesday.
Life chain this afternoon, yes, thank you. And our block is, do we remember? 53rd to 54th. There she is. Any more information? If you have more questions, she's happy to give you the information as you need it. Anything else we've forgotten? If not, God's blessings on your week.